He is doing that act of baptism for you and for me. In baptism, Jesus demonstrates his willingness to obey the Father God. And Jesus' baptism is a mark of the beginning of something new. Following his baptism and his time in the wilderness, Jesus would begin his public ministry. Water in the Old Testament is a symbol of cleansing. Not just the outward dust and dirt of the day, but a cleansing of the heart. Ritual cleaning was something that priests and worshippers did before entering the temple. There were special baths or pools near the temple where people could immerse themselves to ritually cleanse themselves. So there was a sort of kind of hierarchy of pools that you could use. So there was those pools that were filled by people, and so they were full of water, and you got in them and you washed them. That was the lowest form of cleansing. Then there were pools that were fed by rainwater. That was a sort of like a step up the ladder. So there was some rainwater going into it, and so the water was being renewed. And then there was those that had fountains. They were really, really, yeah, you were getting there now. But the top level, the very best water to cleansing, was what they called living water, a river. A pond that was fed by water coming into it. Natural streams, natural rivers, were considered superior for the act of baptism. So being baptised in the River Jordan, in living water by John, was offering the best possible way for people to cleanse themselves and align themselves with God. Water is also a symbol of new beginnings. Those repentant sinners coming to John for baptism had heard his hard message and wanted to purify themselves of their sin and start afresh. Water in the Old Testament is closely linked with creation, the Holy Spirit, and with judgment. In the opening words of the Bible, in Genesis 1, verse 2, we read, "Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness covered over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And later, in Genesis, when the earth is corrupted by man's sinfulness, God floods the earth, cleansing it with his judgment. "I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath in it. Everything on earth will perish." Only Noah, his family, and the animals safely in the ark were saved, because Noah had been faithful and obedient to God. And again, we have this picture of a dove being involved. This is a real dove, not the Holy Spirit. But in chapter 8, verse 11, Noah sends out a dove. And when the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. And when the floods receded, Noah and his family and the pairs of animals he had rescued would begin again, a fresh start, a new beginning. Then in Exodus, we find another story, and don't worry, I'm not going to go through every chapter of the Old Testament. We find another story about water. This time, the Israelites are fleeing from the army of the Egyptians and are faced with crossing the Red Sea. They were trapped on the shore. The Egyptians were gaining ground, bringing with them death and the recapture to a life of slavery. Then God stepped in and rescued them. Parting the waters, they were allowed to walk to freedom on dry land. And when they'd safely reached the other side, the waters returned to their normal path, drowning the pursuing army. Exodus 14:28. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them had survived. So we see water as cleansing, as judgment, and as the start of something new. For Jesus, it was about getting alongside the sinners he would die for, identifying with them, knowing he would pay the price, he would be judged for the sins of the world, and about the beginning of the ushering in of the kingdom of God. His ministry would focus on calling for repentance and accepting God's rule in their lives. And in the living water of the Jordan River, Jesus was baptized for our sakes, just as he would later die for our sakes. He was baptized as an example for his followers. Now, you may have been taught, as I was, that baptism is an outward sign of your inward faith, which of course is true. But it is so much more than that. It's so much more than just an act of witness to others to what you believe is true. Baptism for a follower of Jesus is to be buried with him as we go under the water, and to be raised up to new life, a new creation as we come out of the water. We walk then with God on dry land. Losing in that water our sinful selves, we rise up with Jesus, having his righteousness, his sinlessness, a new life in him. In this place, it has been described as a drama acting out Christ's death and resurrection, in which we who have accepted him as Lord and Saviour share. In John 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about the kingdom of God. In verse 5, we read, Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." It is this passage where Jesus famously talks about being born anew, a new creation. The mention of water here connects us to the act of baptism. However, we also read later in John's Gospel, in chapter 7, verse 37, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. For whoever believes in me, as scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." So here, Jesus uses the description of living water to describe the activity of the Holy Spirit. Certainly, the Holy Spirit is closely connected in Jesus' baptism. At the end of the passage, we read, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water. At that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" These two verses show us the Trinity working in harmony together. The Son acting in obedience to the Father, the Spirit descending on the Son to equip him for ministry, and the Father encouraging the Son, speaking of his love for him and his pleasure in him. Whenever we baptize a believer, we pray that the Holy Spirit will descend on them, filling them like rivers of living water, flowing through them and out of them to bless others. For Jesus, this must have been an amazing affirmation of his mission, a confirmation from his Heavenly Father of his special nature. The blessing of the Holy Spirit filling him, equipping him, and guiding him in ministry. For those of us that have experienced baptism, there will be special moments in that service that have stayed with us. A moment when we too felt close to the Lord and felt that confirmation that we are loved and accepted by our Heavenly Father. When we felt overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, or we felt the Saviour's love so dearly, speaking words of encouragement for our obedience to him. You may yet to encounter Jesus, to know him as friend, Lord and Saviour. You may have many questions, as did Nicodemus, as to what it means to be born again, to begin a new life in Christ. We would be happy to talk to you and help you find answers to your questions and lead you to Jesus. Just have a word with any of the deacons or leaders here this morning. They would be happy to share with you. You may have already taken the step to accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour, but have not taken up his invite to be baptised in his name. It may be that you are shy. Perhaps you don't like water. Maybe you think it's foolish. Maybe you think it's too late. Or maybe you don't feel yet ready to take this step. Whatever the reason, as a follower of Jesus, you have not yet taken this step to be baptized, I ask you to think about it again. Pray about it. This is something Jesus readily did for you. A step of obedience to his Father, an act of witness to his followers, a mark of something new. So if you're interested in learning more, we would be happy to arrange baptismal preparation classes for anybody who would be interested. And there's no obligation for you to be baptised at the end of the course. We can just answer your questions as we go through. So, a deacon, not necessarily me, any deacon that's here this morning would be happy to talk to you about this. I'm going to close with the words from Matthew 28. Then Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the end of the age." Amen.